I'm glad that you're here and able to be here. We are continuing our sort of look at what God said. Not only do I have this week, I do have next week's already prepared. When I started, you know, with Job, I actually had in mind where I wanted to go with it, like picking up things that was said. And I thought my clicker done run out of its battery. So I do have one more lesson. They all tie together to make a main point. But, you know, we looked at Job, you know, what God said to Job. And pretty much the questions that he asked was the ideal of I created all. I am in control. You are the created. And with that, we had jumped to Moses last week. And the ideal of we are the created, that God knows really our limitations. He knows our abilities. So he knows exactly what he has given us to do and knows if we're capable of doing those things or not, and that we need to put forth the effort into doing those things and not make excuses, but pour our hearts into it. Now, this morning, I want to look at what God said to Peter, James, and John. And it, like I said, it ties right on through, and it'll go right into our next lesson next Sunday morning. But what I want to look at here is from Matthew 17. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we're going to read that passage. But in Matthew 17, the Lord actually tells Peter, James, and John, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." But like I said, we're going to read this. So Matthew 17, 1 through 13. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and do not be afraid.' When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands.' Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist." So the context of this, you know, they go up to the mount, and there's where Jesus is transfigured. You know, the ideal of this shining light to show that he truly is God. He's not just a man. He's a man, but he's also God. And, you know, Peter gets it in his mind that he ought to do this great and wonderful thing. All right? Let's build 3 tabernacles. All right, let's do one to Moses. Let's do one to Elijah. Let's do one to you, the Messiah. Let's get into all this work. And the Lord, God, really stops him and says, "No, hear ye him. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." And one of the points I want to make with this lesson is we get it in our minds sometimes that we need to do all of these things, and then we leave what we're really given undone. And we need to be careful with that when it comes to what we call the work of the church and then doing our work, to make sure we're doing what we're told to do and not what we just think we do or what we see as something great to do. Now, what I wanted to look at with this is God told them, "This is, you know, my Son, hear ye him." So I'm going to transition from what the Lord said to Peter, James, John, because this is what he said personally, to him, them telling him to listen to Jesus and what Jesus said to these individuals. So let's jump to Mark 10, 35 through 40. Mark chapter 10, 35 through 40. Because Peter, James, and really their mother get this grand ideal as well here in this case. And we're going to see what Jesus has to say to them. But Mark 10, beginning at 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." That takes, you know, a big person to say that, right? Like I say, mom's involved as well if we read, you know, corresponding passages. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand, the other on your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, will you be baptized?" "You will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." All right, so with this, again, you know, sort of a grandiose ideal. And they get this ideal honest. I mean, that's the way that the Jewish people understand the hierarchy of their nation. You know, we've got the Sanhedrin. We also got the priests. We got the high priest. And for them to, their mindset is the ideal of, you know, here on earth, if there's a king, then he has people that would go right under him and then work their way down. It's a hierarchy. They understand it with the Roman government. They understand it with the Pilates, the Herods. You know, it's ideal. Here's Caesar. Here's the Herods. Here's the Pilates. Here's our people. They that's what they know. They know hierarchy. So they're sort of thinking, let's get our foot in the door. Let's see if we can get like the top two places right below Jesus. Let's you know, it's a grand idea, but let's see if we can find our place. And Jesus is really letting them know the ideal of right hand and left hand in your glory. They don't really even understand the ideal of the glory. You know, we can understand this all the way up to John 13 through 17, after the Lord's Supper, where Jesus is talking to them one-on-one, and he talks about going back to being with their father, they really don't understand what Jesus means even by that, at that point. So here prior to that, they don't understand the ideal of your glory, talking about going back to heaven, you know, sitting on the right hand of God. They don't understand that. And Jesus actually tells them that. You don't really understand what you're asking. And then he goes on to ask you if they could drink of and be baptized with the same things that he was going to. And really what he was talking about was the suffering that he would endure. Are you going to endure what I've got to endure? Talking about being able to go from that to his glory. You know, and they answer, yeah, you know, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. And he does go on to say, yeah, you will. But you don't really understand what you're going to suffer. They really did not understand what they would suffer. You know, we've been talking about that in our Bible class book, the last two Bible classes on Wednesday. The ideal of them going out by two, and that they would endure a lot of things, and to come, they would endure a lot of persecution. They will be killed. They will be persecuted. They will suffer a lot. And Jesus lets them know that, yeah, if they're going to be faithful, then, yeah, they're going to have to. And then the last part, though, the ideal of just giving. You know, he's focused on the ideal of just giving. And he said, for those who it's prepared or chosen for, heaven is prepared for the faithful, the righteous. Those that are going to take and do exactly what the Lord said. So again, we go back to what God said. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. As in, be obedient to him. So in the long run, you know, what Jesus is trying to tell James and John, you don't understand really everything's going on with the ideal of being in heaven, the suffering that I'm about to endure, but you will be faithful, you know, and if you're faithful, you will be able to be there. Now let's jump to Peter. Let's pick up what he says to Peter. I want to go to John 21. Now this is later on, after the Mount of Transfiguration, after his death, you know, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection. They're sitting there by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus has this to say to Peter. John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." All right, now I know it's a simple little passage, but here, you know, Peter denied him three times already. And he asks, he says, you know, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter's like, you know, "Lord, I truly do love you." He says, "Well, you know, feed my sheep." In the long run, what he's telling Peter is do the work that I've given you to do. Do the work I've given you to do. You know, if you love me, you'll do the work I've given you to do. Don't fall away from that commitment. And that's the whole point of the three times. I think the three times matches the three times that he denied. I truly believe that. He denied him three times, and now he has taken and told him three times, "I do love you." You know, the ideal is for Peter to be convicted in this. "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Yes, I love you." "Well, if you love me, then do the work I've given you to do." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Then do the work I've given you to do." And then finally, just like he denied, you know, and even cursed at the end, "I don't know the man." You know, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know all things, Lord. You know I truly do love you." "Then you do what I've told you to do." You know, this ideal of being convicted and be determined, you know, be determined, "I'm going to do exactly what you give me to do, Lord." So yeah, you know, God said, you know, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." Yeah, you know, when we start tying that together, we got to think, you know, here's what I've given you to do. I am about to leave. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And then Peter, you know, you've denied me, Peter. You know, now you've seen what's occurred. You see what's going on. You know what's about to happen. Be convicted, be determined in this. And yes, you will suffer because of it, but be convicted, be determined in that. Now, I want to look at something that he said to all three, as well as the rest. And then in both of these other cases, if we would read prior to and after, we see that the apostles are gathered in all three situations. With James and John, the rest of the disciples got pretty upset over their request. Who do they think they are? You know? And then with Peter, they're gathered there, and Peter's answering this in front of all of them. That's why he says, "Do you love me more than these?" They're gathered there. And again, this one here I want to look at is with all of them. John 15, and I put it on the screen, but feel free to turn and double check me on that one. John 15, verses 4 through 9. John 15, 4 through 9. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." It's come full circle with this. We need to realize that, you know, and I know some of these are taken out of chronological context, but you know, God told Peter, James, and John, "This is my beloved son." And here he says, "The Father has loved me. Hear ye him." Jesus says, "I have loved you. There's a reason that you need to hear me. The Father loved me enough to send me down upon this earth. I love you enough to come. You love me." Now, the way you show that love is by being obedient, by being determined, by being convicted, by doing the work. In conclusion, to wrap it all together, let each of us be focused on the work we have been given. Like I said, it's real easy for us to get in our mind these big, big, grandiose type things, and then we leave what we're really supposed to be working undone. You know, you definitely see this with larger liberal type groups. The things that they start up, these different programs and different things, and you're like, that is not the work of the church. That's nowhere in the scripture. That has no basis on the word of God. and they start these things up. And when you go to ask them about it, they always have these excuses like, don't you think this is good, or aren't we doing something good with that? And I go back to the point, though, this is not what the Lord asks. This is not what he set up. This is not what he died for. This is not the love that he showed. But we get in our mind, though, to do these great things. Let's build a tabernacle for Moses. Let's build one for Elijah, and then let's build one for the Lord. Moses and Elijah wasn't important in that, and that's why God spoke out, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." What has God told Jesus? Because Jesus said, "I've told nothing that I didn't hear from him." So Jesus brought it to this earth. What has he told us to do? Let's do it. Let's be focused on it. Not all these other things. We look at all the rest of the religious world out there, and we start thinking, we ought to be like them. The Lord did not die for us to all be like them. Groups that are started by other men, that are run on other doctrine, he died for his body. Let us be focused on the work we're given to do. Often reward and punishment, you know, persuade us in this life. And that's why so many people do things in this life. They're thinking, what can I get here and now? You know, an ideal of I'll do this because of a reward, or I won't do that because I'm scared of being punished. But the whole point that the Lord has been getting across to them is just do the work because you have a desire for the work. You know, don't think about, can I have the right hand? Can I have the left hand? Can I be beside you in glory? No, just do the work I've given you to do. This is your purpose at this moment. This is what you've been placed on this earth to do. Do what I've given you to do. Take that back to Moses. I know your limitations. I know your abilities. I've asked you to do something. Follow through with it. That is our purpose at the moment. Now, if we do what we're told, if we're faithful in that work, he has promised a reward. That's just a side benefit for us doing the will of God, doing the service to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, be a living sacrifice. That's daily being a living sacrifice. That simply means putting him first and foremost in all things. And that means above yourself, whether individual, whether as a group. Let's make sure that we're doing the work that we're given to do, and not for reward or not to escape punishment, but just doing the work that our Savior has given us to do. The last part I want to leave you with is the last part of the last verse there. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. If we bear much fruit, what's the fruit? The fruit is the spreading of the Word of God. And the Word of God saves souls. That's our fruit, is us spreading the Word of God. It is not creating social programs. It is not setting up, you know, feeding food banks. It's not taking and doing all of these million other things that so-called churches have come up to do. It is taking and spreading the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, because it pierces to the soul and it saves. The Word itself does its job, but you spread the Word. That's what we're given to do. And it says, if we do that, we can be then called his true disciples. If we're not doing that, we're doing everything else, claiming that that's part of that, we're not really his disciples. And the other side of that, the beginning, only when we're doing what we're supposed to do is God glorified. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. If we're not doing what he's given us to do his way, we are not glorifying God, and we are not his disciples. So when we get to the end, when we say, well done, good and faithful servant, and he looks at us, I don't know you. And he says, but didn't I do all of this and all of this? Didn't I do all these things? He says, yeah, you didn't do what I told you to do. Depart from me. You're not mine. You didn't glorify me upon this earth. You're not my disciple. Like I said, we're going to wrap this up, tie it all together next week in our last one. But I want each of us to think today about our purpose for being here. Why are you here? You know, you think, well, I'm supposed to come upon the first day of the week. It's a command. Agree. It's a command. But do you do it because you're thinking, well, if I do it, the Lord's going to take and give me a place with him in heaven? Or are you saying, if I don't do it, he's going to throw me in hell, so I better be there? Why are you here this morning? Why did you get out of bed? Why did you put forth the effort to get dressed and make your way here this morning? We all need to say, because I had a desire to serve my Lord faithfully. Not because I have to. Not because I'm scared not to. Because I really desire to. If you never obeyed the gospel, and you know exactly what it takes to become a child of God, make that decision this morning. If you need to talk about that, you want to understand the commitment more deeply, feel free to ask. I'm happy to talk to you. Others here are as well. Or maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you've turned back into the world for whatever reason. Fix that while you have time and opportunity. We do not have promise of tomorrow. We do not have a promise of being back here tonight. Make it right while you have time and opportunity. We're happy to help if you're willing. Come forward as we stand.